A revival may be expected when Christians have a spirit of prayer for a revival. That is, when they pray as if their hearts were set upon it. When Christians have the spirit of prayer for a revival. When they go about groaning out their heart's desire. When they have a real travail of soul. This was a quote from Charles Finney, the man of revival and prayer, that we are going to be speaking about today on the America Pray Now podcast, the podcast for people of prayer. Today we're going to be taking another look at our revival series. In this series, we look at revivals, and in particular, the role of prayer and intercession in revival and spiritual renewal. We are looking at this not just as a history lesson or as a thing of Christian interest, but also as a call to prayer and intercession in our world today. Many parts of what we will be talking about today come from the book How They Prayed by Edwin and Lillian Harvey. We want to thank Harvey Publishing for allowing us permission to share from their book. Born in 1792 in Warren, Connecticut, Charles G. Finney was raised in the frontier wilderness of upstate New York. Although he came from a non-religious family and received very little spiritual instruction, he was highly educated, mastering Latin, Greek, and Hebrew while training as a schoolteacher and later as a lawyer. His road to ministry began unexpectedly through his legal studies. He noticed that the legal authors he read frequently cited Mosaic law, prompting him to purchase his first Bible. While practicing law in Adams, New York, he joined a local church and even led the choir there. But he remained skeptical of the church's ineffective prayers. He would think to himself, "How is it that they pray but nothing ever happens? There is no action on their prayers." He was not being critical, he just had a longing to know God show himself, and he had a heart to know God had a longing to move in a greater way in his people. He continued to pray and to press into a greater knowledge of God. His radical conversion occurred on October 10, 1821, at the age of 29. Determined to settle the question of his soul, he retreated into the woods to pray. He described a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. He felt like waves of liquid love passed through him as he described it. So great was his experience that he was completely transformed. He went into his law office the next morning and he told his first client, "I have a retainer from the Lord Jesus Christ to plead his cause, and I cannot plead yours." Charles Finney then began to hold meetings, and he boldly challenged the people to repentance of sins and to return to God. His meetings were not just filled with words, but with a powerful move of God. Lives were completely revolutionized. Towns were shaken upside down. One of Finney's well-known revivals was held in Rochester, New York. Before starting any meeting, he gathered believers to pray that the Lord would move on that town. He didn't even consider having any meeting at all until they had spent a considerable time in prayer and crying out to God for mercy on the town. He knew that without God's power, the meetings would be in vain. As the meeting started, people began to flock from all across town. The population of Rochester was 20,000 people at that time, but the number of new converts to Christ was estimated at around 100,000 as people came from all over the state. One observer testified of Finney after he had led this revival in Rochester. "The whole community was stirred. Religion was the topic of conversation in the house, in the shop, in the office, and on the street. The only theater in the city was converted to a stable for animals. The only circus was converted into a soap and candle factory. Grog and liquor shops were closed. The Sabbath was honored. The sanctuaries were thronged with happy worshipers. A new impulse was given to every philanthropic enterprise. The fountains of benevolence were opened, and men lived to do good. These manifestations continued wherever Finney would go. On one occasion, some clergy from the town opposed him, feeling that the services were just emotional and not from God. While Finney was bold and fiery, he was also humble, and he was concerned if what the clergyman said was true. Was he in God's perfect path? Was he truly hearing from God in conducting these meetings as he did? He took these criticisms to God in prayer and said that if any of what he did was vanity, that God would burn it up that moment. He didn't want to walk a step further if God was not in it. In only a moment, God's presence swept over him like a river as he had known before, confirming his approval and leading. And he continued with the meetings with fervor and boldness, and thousands came to Christ, repenting and living new lives of righteousness. What led to such great moves of God? Charles Finney said, "Prayer is an essential link in the chain of causes that leads to revival, as much so as truth is. Some have zealously used truth to convert men and laid very little stress on prayer. They have preached and talked and distributed tracts with great zeal and then wondered that they had so little success. The reason was that they forgot to use the other branch of the means of effectual prayer. They overlooked the fact that truth by itself will never produce the effect because it will not be believed without the Spirit of God." Finney said that during these times of prayer, "I found that I could not live without enjoying the presence of God." It is evident from his writings that he believed that prayer was the primary cause of God's movement on these meetings that he ministered over. He said, "I will say that unless I had the spirit of prayer, I could do nothing. If even for a day or an hour, if I lost the spirit of grace and supplication, I found myself unable to preach with power and efficiency or to win souls by personal conversation. Sometimes I would find myself, in a great measure, empty of this power. I would go out and visit and find that I had made no saving impression. I would exhort and pray with the same result. I would then set apart a day for private fasting and prayer, fearing that this power had departed from me, and would inquire anxiously after the reason for this apparent emptiness. After humbling myself and crying out for help, the power would return upon me and with all its freshness. This has been the experience of my life." Thus Finney experienced a vital and direct link for the power of God manifested in his ministry. He simply knew that it was God's power that came through steadfast prayer that caused God's move on the people. But the hundreds of thousands brought into the kingdom under Finney were not the result of the prayers of Finney alone. There were many others who received this burden to pray. There was a man of prayer associated with Charles Finney, a man named Daniel Nash. When Nash saw and experienced Charles Finney and saw that he was fully given over for God's purposes, he was inspired to intercede for the meetings that Charles Finney was holding. Finney tells us about Daniel Nash. He says, "The first time I saw Reverend Daniel Nash was at a certain meeting, in which he invited me to preach the gospel. Soon after that, he was confined to his room with a disease of his eyes and was almost entirely blind for about 6 months. During this period, he gave himself to prayer and had a great searching and overhauling in his spiritual life. Before he could see enough to get out of his room, he was powerfully baptized by the Holy Ghost. Soon after this, he came to me in the midst of a powerful revival. I could not fail to see that he had been totally made over and was quite another man. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He had the strongest faith and was the mightiest man of prayer that I had ever seen at that time. Afterward, he labored with me in the revivals. He would come with me and labor in prayer and conversation with great effect. He followed me to Utica and afterwards in Troy and New Lebanon. He was the most wonderful man of prayer, one of the most earnest, devout, spiritually minded, heavenly minded men I ever saw. At one particular revival, there was significant resistance to their work there. It was the prayers of Daniel Nash that led to a great breakthrough in this town. Imagine a village gripped by the fires of religious revival, but at the heart of it lied a sanctuary of opposition, a low tavern owned by a man known for his bitterness and blasphemy. This man was not merely a skeptic. He was described as a railing, abusive man who took particular pains to swear and curse wherever he encountered a Christian. His barroom served as the local headquarters for those who opposed the work of revivalist Charles Finney, becoming a place defined by profanity and revelry. Unbeknownst to the owner, his name had been placed on a praying list by Daniel Nash, Finney's dedicated intercessor. Nash would often stay in his room or go out into the woods to wrestle with God in agony of prevailing prayer for the souls on his list. The tension reached a breaking point one evening when this notorious sinner walked into a church service. Many in the congregation were filled with fear and abhorrence, certain that he had come to cause a disturbance. However, Finney observed that the man was actually in great anguish of mind, sitting and writhing in his seat in a state of visible unease. In a moment that stunned the village, the bar owner stood up, not to mock, but trembling with emotion. He delivered what Finney described as one of the most heartbroken confessions he had ever heard, openly recounting his mistreatment of God, of Christians, and of the revival. This transformation was so profound that it broke up the fallow ground in the hearts of those watching, providing a new powerful move for the revival. The man who once invited blasphemy into his house abolished the old ways, and the very barroom that once echoed with curses began to host prayer meetings nearly every night. Finney said, "I remember on one occasion writing to him to ask me to join me every Friday in fasting and prayer. Daniel Nash replied that his body was nearly worn out and that the Holy Spirit had laid the world upon his heart and pressed him almost to death in prayer. Those that knew him will never forget his prayers and the unutterable groaning with which he prayed for lost souls. The instantaneous answer to some of his prayers was so startling so as to arrest the attention of everybody around him. He lived only a few years after I became acquainted with him," Finney says. "But what years those were, and what a life was that! He lived almost in heaven." Finney says, "I saw him for some days in a state of mind so joyful and so triumphant that his face literally shone with the joy of his soul. On those seasons he would say to me, 'Brother Finney, I cannot pray. My soul is so full of heaven, I can do nothing but praise.' But soon he would come down and take the load of unconverted sinners upon his heart. And such agonizing, prevailing prayers I never heard from any other man. Many times in the meeting his soul would become so full of anguish that he could not remain and keep silent. He would hastily get up from his seat and find a place where he could pour out his soul to God. For hours he would continue to wrestle and to agonize and groan to God until his strength was completely exhausted. The spirit of prayer that was on him was quite a stumbling block to some of the churchgoers that were there that had never known the Holy Spirit as the Spirit that maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God, with groaning that cannot be uttered. Finney says that very much of this type of prayer prevailed in the revivals through New York at that time. Many men and women prayed in such a manner and sometimes would pray all night in their prayer closet with unutterable groaning for the salvation of sinners. Daniel Nash gave himself up to almost constant prayer, literally praying himself to death at the last. There is much that could be said about the life and the revivals of Charles Finney, but it is not just with intellectual curiosity that we review and consider his life today. But we do so because we need a great move of God in the days that we live in. The same sins, the same hardnesses of heart, the same condemned state of fallen man that existed in the days of Charles Finney exist today in our world. We could even argue that our world today has an even greater need for a move of God. Finney saw houses of liquor and blasphemy shut down, not by legislation or protest, but by a revival of God in the hearts of those who went to those places. The need in our day is much the same, if not worse, than in the days of Finney. The good news is that the same mighty God of Finney is still available to hear the groanings and the intercessions of believers who will labor in prayer for lost souls. Edwin and Lillian Harvey, who have compiled much regarding revival and prayer, they say, "We are convinced through extensive research and study into biography and history of revivals that genuine spiritual results can always be traced to seasons of extraordinary prayer on the part of private individuals or of a church or a group united in prayer. We have concluded that intercession and the Spirit's response are inseparable twins." All you who are listening to this podcast, there is still a window of opportunity to intercede for our nation. My prayer today is that we may receive grace to wrestle with God for change and spiritual revival in our day. Maybe you haven't been called to be a Charles Finney, one that is known for leading great works, but you can still be a Daniel Nash, one pleading with heaven on behalf of your community and family. The revivals of Finney's day would not have been possible without the intercessory prayer muscle like those of Daniel Nash and others. And that is something that we can lay hold of. May the God of our hope fill you with a new desire to be poured out in prayer for the lost souls and broken state of our nation in these days that we live in. Thank you for listening to the America Pray Now podcast. If you have enjoyed these podcasts, we also publish a magazine on prayer, which is free of charge and can be delivered directly to your home. You can sign up to receive this magazine by visiting our website at americapraynow.com. We also meet in 17 different cities every month to pray in person. Most of our prayer meetings are in Virginia, and we also meet in West Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Please see our website for dates and times. And until next time, may God bless you.